Welcome to the Home Business Podcast with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, managing editor. This how-to show helps you successfully operate your home-based business.
Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Podcast. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your skipper at Home Business TV. My co-host Sherilyn has been snowed out today. Let's secure for sea and get underway. Running a home business should be a lot like baseball. Before each game, the manager and umpires get together at home plate to review ground rules. They do this to prevent a dispute in the frenzy of a game of what is fair and what is foul. It is not unusual for people in a home business to start playing their game of business without setting ground rules or neglecting them. This can get tricky as a high proportion of home businesses employ family members. Boundaries between family and business get blurred. And when someone feels boundaries have been crossed, family relationships suffer. A balance between business and family is required. To help us play ball in a family business today is Tom Hubler, author of The Soul of Family Business, a practical guide to family business success and a loving family. So greetings, Tom Hubler. Welcome to the Home Business Podcast. Say hello to our listeners.
Hello out there.
Let's see the cover of that book.
Okay.
Great. Thanks. And have an all Minnesota podcast today. So I'd forgotten you connected in, and I said, I'm getting snowed out over here, and then you're getting snowed out. Oh, it must be Minnesota. Or maybe I think it's half the country today or something.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Well, we love it though, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
A chance to bond with our families as we all get snowed in together. Well, let's zoom in on the theme of your book. Tom, what exactly is the soul of family business?
The soul of family business is basically the essence of who you are. And it has to do with your values, your history, your heritage, all the things that have made up who you are. And that's what is distinctive about you. And that's captured in what I would call a common family vision to unite the family. And so the idea of the soul is to bring you together, to inspire you, and to distinguish what you do that's different from all your other competitors and so forth. So it's a manifestation of the values and all the things that are unique about your family. It includes good communication. It includes forgiveness. It includes all kinds of things that are a part of who you are and your history, in particular your history.
So the soul is kind of a binding agent, like we used to say in chemistry class, to kind of pull in everything together and keep the relationships strong.
Yes. It's, again, designed to help you understand what your purpose is, what your essence is, and how you can manifest that and support each other as a family group.
Yeah, so it just gets tricky when that starts getting blurred with business. Business is, you know, kind of secular and outside of the relationships of family, so it's not a natural fit. So you've got to give it some thought to how to adapt that family to a business environment.
When I taught at the University of St. Thomas, I taught the family business management class there. I used to say all the time that normal business and financial differences will erode family relationships. And it's just a matter of time unless the family or the couple are proactive and positive in building what I call the emotional equity of their family while they're simultaneously building the equity of the company. And oftentimes what happens is people err on the side of building the equity of the company and forget about the importance of their family relationships.
Yeah, it's a good point you bring up. I learned a little bit of this the hard way because, you know, we're a smaller business. We have had and still have family members in the business. And if you just kind of just plod along and you don't think about the family relationship side of it, the business relationship will kind of start to fray that.
That's
and
true.
It just bleeds. If you're not thinking about it and aware of it, it's just awkward and it does get tarnished.
Yes, yes. There was an article in the St. Paul paper about 10 years ago about couples who were in the restaurant business together but had divorced but kept their business relationship, which indicated to me that they had focused primarily on their business relationship and forgot about the importance of their family relationship.
That's funny. They found out there were better restaurant partners than life partners.
Isn't that incredible? And it's too bad. I mean, that's a tragedy to some extent. It's too bad.
Well, I guess maybe the positive side, they ended up sort of being friends afterwards.
Yes, 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 yes.
So,
on Almanac, Kathy Werzer and Eric Escala, who are a couple who do that program here in the Twin Cities on public television, have divorced but kept their business relationship. They're on every Friday night at 7 o'clock here in the Twin Cities anyway.
That's good. These are some good points to build upon. If you don't think about the personal side of it, the business will just kind of plow everything under. So your book is right on target. What, you know, Todd, what do you find to be the most important aspect of running a family-owned business, and how can families best implement this?
I think it's important to have a plan, and a plan that includes, particularly in terms of what I call the ground rules, as we talked about earlier, which I refer to in the book as a family participation plan, about having some clarity about roles and responsibilities, clarity about money, clarity about compensation, clarity about managing differences, having a balance between your business and family relationship, getting out of the office and having fun with each other. All of those things are really important, and it's important to have a plan to be able to do that.
So I think what I'm seeing here is, if you're working with family members, maybe you take a lot of it for granted that, you know, these roles and responsibilities, things that you need to get clarified, you take a lot of it for granted just because you're interacting with them as a family member, but you might not realize they don't quite understand this from a business perspective and that business role. And so that makes it more of a challenge running a family business.
What happens is the way to create balance between your family and business relationship is to have structure and formality. And couples and families say to me, "Tom, we don't need all that structure and formality because we love each other." And I say, it's because you love each other that you need structure and formality. And that's a lot of what I do, is to help them, you know, formulate the kind of necessary structure and formality to help them be successful.
That's a good way of looking at it. It's actually, you need that structure just because it is a family.
That's right.
Not because it's it would be the usual structure you would have in a business.
That's correct.
Let's deal a little bit more into these challenges. You know, working with family members does present unique challenges. Do you have any additional success advice to making this effective in a business?
I think part of it is celebrating your successes and not taking them for granted. I think it's important, like with my wife and I. My wife and I work together, and so we are really clear about our roles and our responsibilities. And when it's when we step on each other's toes, and there's no way you can avert that, even with people you love, you have to be able to say I'm sorry and forgive each other. And so those are the sorts of things, and having regular communication about your expectations and what you need from each other in order to thrive is really important, I think.
Yeah, that kind of brings us some interesting dynamics. A lot of times families get into a point they're not really communicating with each other. You know, they're just going through, you know, the motions. They get distracted and might not think about, you know, really getting caught up on things until the weekend. But in a business, if you're running a business, you got to remember that you always need to be communicating with each other, because things will change on a day-to-day basis.
Well, and we're also operating, you know, in most businesses, there's a lot of stress involved in terms of deadlines and expectations and so forth. And so that heightens the importance of being able to communicate clearly and directly. And there's a woman whose name is Angelus Arian, and she's a cultural anthropologist, and she studied indigenous people and came up with this rule, or four rules, actually. And the third rule is to be able to speak your truth without judgment, criticism, or blame. And so that's one of the guidelines that I try to help my clients develop, so that they can say whatever's on their mind and their heart without being critical of the other party.
Yeah, I think that point you meant about being non-judgmental is really critical.
And it's hard to do that when you're in a stressful situation, when it's an emotional thing. And it takes a lot of discipline, I think, to be able to do that.
Well, let's talk about things, Mike, maybe a little bit going off the apple cart with stress or whatever. So, you know, in running a family business, feathers will get ruffled. Tom, yes. You know, you talk about forgiveness as intervention. What do you mean by this?
Well, basically, what I've learned is that people don't take what they learn on weekends, like on Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, and bring it into the rest of the week. And that there are times when, as I mentioned earlier, that you step on each other's toes. It's something that happens in all of our families with people we love. But the ones that are successful are able to take that and forgive each other, and the family members who don't oftentimes have serious, serious problems. So forgiveness as an intervention is a way to talk about forgiveness, and I've done that with families where they were on the verge of suing each other. And rather than sue each other.
Oh, wait, a family business, they're getting ready to sue each other?
That happens all the time, to tell you the truth. It's really a sad situation.
Yeah.
But the idea is it's a lot less expensive to forgive each other than it is to try to sue each other.
So maybe there's kind of like a process you got to go through to, you know, to heal wounds. And you're saying yes. That starts then with forgiveness, and then things can build upon that.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I've had several families where we've used that as a tool to create a new beginning in their relationship as a family and a family business.
Yeah, I imagine if you handle this, you know, intervention and forgiveness the right way, the process works, it can actually then strengthen both the family relationships and the business that's being operated.
That's true. That's really true. And it particularly it strengthens the family relationship. And the research is that when families are strong, it goes right to the bottom line. So there's a financial incentive to have a strong family relationship.
Well, yeah, let's talk a little bit on family business. You know, they do have to prepare for succession planning, you know, and what if the children, you know, don't want to be part of the business?
That's a real challenge. And I think part of it has to do with figuring out what the plan's going to be and determining if the children are not interested and if their gifts don't take them into the family business. Then you need to consider the possibility of selling to your employees. That's one possibility, and doing what's called an ESOP. And another possibility is basically to sell the business. Mm-hmm. And that happens periodically where people basically say, you know, we've had enough. We've worked hard. We want to retire, and they'll sell the business.
You know, in working with children and succession, have you ever seen a situation where they initially don't want the business, but through some kind of intervention or facilitation, you address the issues that they don't like in the business so that they're more amenable to it and they'll want to take on the business? Or does they just kind of come in with a gut feeling they don't want to be, because they already know all about it, they just don't want to be part of it? I mean, is there a way to get to encourage a child to, you know, take another look at it if they're not inclined to initially?
You know, it used to be that family businesses and working in families was a second career. It was a second choice in terms of careers. Mm-hmm. And the goal for most people was to work in a publicly traded company. Today, now, it's much more of a first choice. But at the same time, there are times when the adult children aren't really sure they want to be in the family business or they want to work for their parents. And they'll go off and work someplace else. But oftentimes, what I would call drift back into the family business, because there's a sense of pride, a sense of ownership, a sense of excitement about being a part of a family business and working there. And they love to do that. And the issue is around creating a plan about how you're going to do that, which is, we talked earlier about mm-hmm. the family participation plan and making clear what the guidelines are for entering the family business. And what's the career plan? What's the leadership plan? All of those things need to be decided on the front end, so that adult children know what they're getting involved in when they make a decision to come into the family business.
Well, so I imagine kind of this, tying this all together, when you look at succession planning, just clarifying those roles and responsibilities and expectations, that might actually increase the probability that a child will want to continue on and, you know, take the business on as their own.
And make an investment of their time and their energy in the company. But what happens is, parents sometimes take their kids for granted and don't take the time to sit down and talk about that and have those kinds of discussions. And one of the ways to deal with that is to have what are called regular family meetings. And family meetings are designed to deal with the boundary between your business and your family relationship. And that's a vehicle to talk about those things and get all of that clarified.
Yes, it's just so critical to do. As we're talking, I'm thinking about, you know, all the different companies we work with, smallers, vendors, independent contractor business. It seems like all of them are somehow, you know, have family participation one way or the other.
Yes.
So this is really critical. Well, you know, we say the biggest challenge for last. You talked about the last challenge of entrepreneurship. You know, what is this?
Well, one of the big issues in family businesses is the R word, or retirement. And entrepreneurs are loath to let go. And one of the things I've discovered is and created is what I call the last challenge of entrepreneurship, where entrepreneurs don't have to leave the company, but they need to find something that gives them heart and meaning so they can continue to participate in the company and add value. And so they don't have to leave, but what they do have to do is change their job description and become the architect and the designer with their family members and advisors of the new ownership system and the new management leadership system. And entrepreneurs are driven by their dreams, and so they need to develop a new dream with their partner in regard to work, family, leisure time, service, philanthropy, and getting involved with their grandkids to perpetuate their legacy.
Sounds a little bit like a saying we had in the, I think it was MacArthur said it, that old soldiers never die, they just fade away.
Right.
Well, so you don't want to just, you know, you can kind of stay in there and you gradually fade into the background.
That's exactly right.
And I think one of the big things you're saying is, you know, there still is a big footprint running it. At some point, you've got to step away from that.
Correct.
And big step.
I believe, like, for instance, I believe that most entrepreneurs are irreplaceable. So the question is, if they're irreplaceable, what are you going to do? Well, what I believe you need to do is to develop a new system. And the new system is having a board of directors and having the entrepreneur be the chairperson of the board. And so that they can guide the family business from that perspective, as opposed to day-to-day operations.
And so kind of walking away from those hard stop routines they have to be involved with. And,
yes.
And so there's more flexibility in the role as you're moving into retirement.
Correct.
Well, Tom, this has been a great discussion on overcoming challenges in a family business. Do you have any final points you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, I think the other thing we haven't talked about that I think is really critical is the whole notion of gratitude and having a sense of gratitude for your blessings and all the things that have come your way. And one of the big issues in family business is entitlement. And one of the ways to deal with that is gratitude. So that what you need to do as a family is to develop a culture of gratitude and bless for the blessings that you have.
You know, I think that's really important because, you know, it's hard to find somebody that really likes their job outside of, working in a family business. I mean, it's always a grind. But to be able to work with your family in an income, in a positive income, where you're covering your livelihood, it really is a blessing. And you got to stop and, be grateful for that.
That's true. That's true.
Well, Tom Hubler, thank you for being such a great guest on the Home Business Podcast.
It's been my pleasure.
To learn more about Tom Hubler and his book, The Soul of Family Business, please visit hublerfamilybusiness.com or our podcast website for more information on guests. Why don't we show us that book cover again?
Here it is.
Thanks for joining us in this episode of the Home Business Podcast. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and our website, homebusinessmag.com. Visit the website for more information on advertising. Subscribe to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors. For more information, visit homebusinessmag.com or the Home Business Expo at homebusinessexpo.com. I'm Richard Captain Henderson saying, anchors away. We'll talk with you soon. Until then, make it a great home-based biz day.